Welcome to the inaugural episode of Metanoia. Metanoia is a Greek word used primarily in the New Testament in the Bible as a call for transformation. The prefix meta means behind, to change, to go beyond, and we see that in the words metamorphosis and metaphysics. Metamorphosis, to change form. Metaphysics means behind the physical, to go beyond the physical, or to change the physical primarily through mental alchemy. Noia means mind, and we see that in the word paranoia. The root is nous, and it has an esoteric meaning in divine emanation of God. And so our intention for this program is to promote transformation, personal transformation, going beyond our present habits, thought patterns, modes of thinking and behavior to transform. And it's a holistic approach. And given that, I can think of no better guest to be on our inaugural program than my good friend, Kidi Obi Awadu. And in my mind, Kidi is a genuine Renaissance man. He is an artist, a reggae singer, songwriter. He's a musician. He's produced his own albums. He's a deep and thorough researcher. He's an author, close to 40 books. He's an internet radio pioneer and also internet television. He's a documentary filmmaker, an Afrofuturist, an avid organic gardener. He's a vegan. He does superfood feasts, and he's a chef, and he talks about and addresses holistic health and nutrition, and he's also a consultant in those areas. Welcome to Metanoia, Kidi.
Ah, greetings, my beloved brother Junius. Boy, with an introduction like that, man, I almost want to get to run out and get to know this guy that you're talking about. I say, but wait a minute, he's talking about me. What a joy it is to be with you today, talking about some of our very favorite topics, really essentially how we transform ourselves using the best available knowledge. Thank you for the invitation today.
It's my pleasure. Share some of your personal and professional background. I don't want you to go too deep because that would take up the whole program, but specifically how you got into scientific research, because that is the basis. You're a prodigious researcher, as well as music, the media, and the self-publishing.
Well, I was very, very fortunate to have been born into a family with a deep science and academic background. Just briefly, my father, who was son of sharecroppers, the ninth child of a family in rural North Carolina. After he went through the military, he went to college and got his degree in chemistry. And as a career, he joined a major corporation as an industrial chemist. One of the beautiful things our father did, among many things, was to build the family a home when we were very, very young. And at the new home that he built and homesteaded, we grew food and everything, but he had a magnificent library in the home. And so much of what I do academic with the research and much of my background is tied to my father's science background in chemistry and the library that he put into the home. Now, our mother was a genius. She was, at age 16, already enrolled in college where she met my father. She didn't complete because they started their family rather young in her life, but she was already established amongst her peers at college that this 16-year-old is helping to tutor the senior students and even some grad students in their affairs. So when we moved to the country, our mother raising us, I was the fourth, or tied for third, I guess, for four children. Yes, I do have a twin brother. And our mother taught us in the home. She taught us to read at a very young age to such a high degree that I can recall by the time I entered elementary school, I was already studying my father's college textbooks, including his French book, teaching myself to speak French before even getting into first grade. So that leads us to, again, we have this home in the countryside on 1.3 acres. A black farmer who had retired sold off his 40 acres only to black families. And so 21 black families left the city, built brand new homes on anywhere from 1 to 3 acres. And we called it Fraser Estates. And it was just a prime place for a child to grow up with an immense set of confidences. All throughout my elementary and high school years, I was an honor roll student, award student. I was very good in math and science. But the funny thing happened. No one ever asked me if I wanted to go to college. Now, our mother died at a very young age, so my father was a single parent to 4 sons. And I never did enroll in college. Fortunately for me, Brother Junius, within 1 year of graduating high school, I lucked up and found a job in a biological research laboratory in the field of reproductive biology, which fed a lot of my own personal self-interest and also led me deeper into reproductive biology, cellular biology, molecular biology. So that career lasted about 4 years, maybe what would have been the equivalent of my attendance at college. I think it was grad level by the time I left that job and went into full-time pursuing the music industry. Now, to make the briefest out of that, when I discovered reggae music, I also discovered a thing called Italian food, clean food. And when I moved to California in the early 1980s, that idea of clean food became the vegetarian lifestyle. Because I had a deep science background, I was more than curious about just eating vegetarian. I wanted to learn about the health benefits, et cetera. So I eventually became a vegan, continued to do research. I started writing again because I'd been writing early in my 20s, music reviews and other things that were published in magazines and newspapers. But I started writing this time about health, consciousness, social, political affairs, global affairs, pan-Africanism. And as you know, Brother Junius, this is now finished. Well, it's actually, I've accumulated now 40 published books, which is a combination of all of the various interests. I hope that was a brief enough introduction to your complex brother.
Well, we met maybe 20 years ago. You were a pioneer. I was already in internet radio, and then I heard about you, and you were gracious enough to be a guest on my program, and then we segued. We hooked up, thanks to you and Neil Blake. We were able to hook up all the preeminent black internet radio programs, and we had several sessions with the owners and programmers of those stations. So that's how I first heard about you that way. And indirectly, I heard about you through Del Jones, because he came to California, and I believe he was at one of your sessions, and he appeared on your radio program.
Yeah. Well, you and I go way back. I'm always so excited when I hear people who have great memories telling me how we met and those exciting things we did. I'm still kind of really cast in the present and the future. As you know, I am a scientific futurist, which I love the reminiscing, but I really, really love charting the course of sustainable development for our individual and collective future. And that really brings us to the course of our conversation today.
Right. And we want to focus on health and well-being. And so even prior to COVID, this country was experiencing a major crisis in health and well-being. And so we want to address that, but also look at the fact that the COVID scenario has exacerbated that. So how can we go about reclaiming our health, vitality, and well-being? What are some very practical means of doing that?
The key about it is where is our focus? American news media, which quite often works in collaboration with the medical, pharmaceutical, drug cartel, as I call this complex, and their supportive institutions, with the regulatory agencies, et cetera, the essence of which is Americans spend more on healthcare per capita and as a nation than has ever been recorded in human history. Some $3.9 trillion spent for the 331 million people of the United States amounts to just under $11,000 per person. Yet, when it comes to the ranking of Americans' satisfaction with their healthcare system compared to other developed nations. Americans spend a lot more, but their outcome ranks a lot lower. So we have to ask the question, could it be possible that there are certain fundamental structural problems with the U.S. medical, pharmaceutical, drug, healthcare system? And the answer to that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is yes, there are many significant structural problems. Medical bankruptcy or medical expenses are the leading cause of household bankruptcy. Life expectancy amongst Americans is not so good compared to other developed nations. And there are gross health disparities across different populations and or ethnic groups within the United States. COVID really brings to the forefront a lot of the structural issues that were problematic within the American system. Americans eat too much junk food, too much fast food. The standard American diet is highly causative of a spectrum of chronic diseases, including cardiovascular disease, cancer, including a spectrum of inflammation-based diseases and disorders, diabetes, hypertension. These things are epidemic. And what ties them all together from the research that I've published over the years, Brother Junius, what ties them all together is Americans, by and large, suffer from significant severe malnutrition. It's a malnourished nation. We have the highest rates of overweight and obesity, but the fact that we eat so much empty food and not enough highly nutritious food is the cause of this malnutrition. And I think that's a very serious dialogue you and I are having centering around this, that a lot of people need to be paying close attention to what we're saying and consider these lifestyle modifications that we are going to be suggesting.
One of the things that you just touched on was the emptiness of our nutrition and our diet. Another key factor, I just want to share this, and we're going to focus primarily on nutrition and diet. Lack of proper hydration, as well as proper sleep and restoration, coupled with the nutrition and just the poor mental and cognitive choices and internal dialogues that we have within ourselves, are the primary causes of this epidemic. So you're a vegan, you're a chef, you're into superfoods, and also you produced a film called Chewicide. So what is Chewicide, and how does that relate to what we're talking about now?
Chewicide, when the food that you habitually eat or are accustomed to is so absolutely deliciously decadent that it literally is to die for, that's called Chewicide. If your habitual patterns, family patterns, lead to high rates of diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and other chronic diseases, that is Chewicide. And when we look at all of the different structures of nutrition around various ethnic communities, what we see, what we call soul food and grown accustomed to as soul food, has literally become the epitome of Chewicide. So with the understanding that food and nutrition is so, so very important to our health and well-being, to disease prevention, or to maintaining our youthful vitality, or to helping us to overcome some acute and or chronic disease conditions, we then take a systematic approach to putting this into context. Now, you had mentioned about the critical need for sleep, the critical need for detoxing, the critical need for hydration. In the system that I put together, it's called Living Superfood, which translates to full spectrum hypernutrition as our strategy for staying young and vital and healthy and disease-free. In this system, we teach what are called the seven principles, Junius, and you had mentioned several of them. The seven principles are, first, the breath, so very key and critical to all aspects of life. Then hydration, then nutrition. And then under nutrition, we break that into eight critical categories of nutrition that we need to be able to survive and to thrive. Beyond nutrition, there's a critical need for sleep. And in the American society, with this disproportion of acute and chronic diseases relative to the health investment, we find that sleep deprivation is epidemic in this country. And most people really don't think about the fact that they don't sleep enough and that their body doesn't get a chance to recover nightly. Then there are detoxification, critically necessary to clean the body out periodically. Exercise, absolutely, for keeping the cardiovascular system and the other body systems highly vigorous. And then the last of the seven principles, we call the mind-body-spirit matrix. Essentially, our spirituality, our psychology, mental health, our state of just recognizing the magnificence of our being is all deeply intertwined in our overall health status.
You mentioned the first principle is breath and breathing. We tend to take that for granted. Most people who practice yoga or people who are into holistic living say that most people in the West breathe incorrectly. So share with us proper breathing techniques and why that is so important on a physical and spiritual level.
Mm-hmm. In the book, Living Superfood Research, which is the core curriculum when I certify and I teach people my system, Living Superfood, the first of the seven principles we address is the breath. The breath is much more complex. Of course, we understand the primacy of breath, because if you're denied all of the other seven of the other principles of the seven principles, breath is the one, if denied, that will cause your demise the absolute quickest. But beyond that, the breath is the essence of the creation of energy within our body on the cellular level. The mitochondria, the little fuel engines inside of every one of our cells, the mitochondria requires two things to produce energy, and that is fuel in the form of glucose, which is derived from the foods that we eat. And then it needs oxygen. For a significant number of people, not only are they depriving themselves of the proper nutrition, the vitamins and minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids, the fiber, the complex carbohydrates, and the essential there's one more on that list. I'll think of it when I stop trying to think of it. But not only are we denying that nutrition, but we're also living in a state where our bodies are constantly, to some degree, oxygen deprived. Now, if we go back to the research of Dr. Otto Warburg, who won two Nobel Prizes in the 1930s for his discoveries about the cause of cancer, the cause of cancer was essentially oxygen deprivation on the cellular level. So if we are living in a state where we're constantly oxygen deprived, it would show up in things like rates of cancer and Junius. The rates of cancer in America are scandalous and shocking, and to a great degree, very few people are talking about it. The earliest records of cancer in world history are from ancient Egypt, and the incidence of cancer in that population was apparently 1 in 400. 0.25 of one percentage. In the year 1900 in America, it was 1 out of 24 people. Today, 3.84. No, let me make that 2.84 out of every 5 people will get cancer in their lifetime. Almost 3 out of 5 people will be getting cancer in their lifetime, compared to 1 out of 400 in ancient Egypt. So we have to recognize patterns of life and behavior that we're engaging in now are directly connected to this cancer epidemic. And one of the most primary things is the breath. And in a year of COVID, 2 years of COVID now, Brother Junius, this idea of being oxygen deprived is compounded by the fact that people have been convinced that to protect their life and their self-interest, they've got to wear a mask all day, recirculating much more carbon dioxide.
Now, we are seeing reports about exactly what you said. Unfortunately, that information is being suppressed. So given that, your your principles and how you certify people, we need to get that out there. So how can people get more information about your living superfood and also about your certification program?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I could just share a screen briefly, I'll let the people look at some of the books that I do have out. And we're going to encourage people to get active, to get proactive, to have a plan, have a strategy. With what I do, I have a mantra. I like to inform people, inspire people, and excite people to take their fate into their own hands. Inform, inspire, and excite. So hence, I've written a series of books and the documentary film. Here, six of the books are up here. We have Living Superfood Recipes Volume 1 and Living Superfood Recipes Volume 2, a collection of 110 and 85 raw vegan recipes. Now, when we come to the category of foods that cause our body to have the most rapid healing and transformation and disease prevention, it is the raw vegan superfoods that I identify in these series, and many others acquiesce to this, that is our best shot at staying young, vital, healthy, and disease resistant for the longest period of time. We have a number of science books in this series, Living Superfood Research, Don't Get Sick, Stay Off Drugs, Live a Long Time. One of my favorites, Living Superfood Longevity, which is a strategic plan to extend our average life expectancy by 30 years. But better than that, we're going to get high quality life extension. So therefore, of our now extended lifespan, of the last 60 years, we want 50 of those last 60 to be high quality years and to compress the end of life stage and chronic disease down to no more than 10 years of our, in my case, full 120 years of life expectancy. We have books very specific, such as Get the Weight Off, 30 Days to a New You. Living Super in Paradise is a great way of beating stresses, but I also include some very important scientific data there on death by doctor, iatrogenesis, and the stunning figures of the number of people whose life ends in the United States prematurely because of encounters with the medical pharmaceutical drug complex system. It's far worse than people could imagine. So Brother Junius, I love the books. I love sharing them. And I encourage people to get the books and to use the books towards the aim of making their life better for everyone involved. And I believe I stopped sharing that screen. I did hand it back.
I don't think it came up.
Oh, the screen never did come up? All right. Well, let me see if I can share that one more time so people can just see the books. And you should be seeing the share right now. My bad. I didn't double click. I just single click.
Right. Right there now.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to be encouraging people, first of all, take charge. See your destiny, see your fate, and see your disease resistance and the investment that you put into your health, your family's health. See, this as the highest priority despite what comes across a TV screen every day trying to distract us. And of course, they can find these books at livingsuperfood.com. And I'll give you the screen back right now.
Now, a lot of people might be taken aback or reticent to begin a radical diet, quote unquote, radical diet. You do cleanses, you do supervised fasts. I wanted you to talk about those in preparation for a transformation, a dietary and nutritional transformation, but also talk about how you can make incremental changes using juices, you know, fresh juices, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Good points that you make, Junius. Because for some of us, the momentum of current lifestyle that we recognize is not the best, the momentum of it is so strong that we're reluctant to make this radical shift. Now, for me, it's not so much a radical shift. If I find out that something that I've grown accustomed to has toxic poisons in it, maybe heavy metals or polychlorinated by phenols that might cause cancer. For me, just the knowledge that this is a danger to me, immediately I am, because of my lifestyle and habits, I'm able to say, I'm cutting that. And if need be, I'll replace it. If it's that important to me, I'll replace it immediately with something that will give me a better outcome. I'm reminded of this old saying, I believe attributed to Chinese culture. When is the best time to plant a fruit tree? 20 years ago. When is the second best time to plant a fruit tree? Today. And so for those out there who might be concerned about the high levels of cardiovascular disease, overweight, obesity, high levels of cancer, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, diabetes, hypertension, kidney failure, and dialysis, for those who are aware of these statistics and the way they're moving, sadly, the wrong direction very rapidly, then the best strategy is, when do you plant your fruit tree? Did you, like myself, plant your fruit tree 40 years ago? Or will you be planting your fruit tree today? The bottom line is, you have decided growing and consuming that fruit is good for you. It's time to get that tree working for you.
I give your URL for the books and the film, the documentary again.
LivingSuperFood.com. No S, LivingSuperFood.com. And our motto there is, food is nature's most perfect medicine, and medicine has never tasted like this before.
We mentioned some chronic conditions. One of them is inflammation. And inflammation is, you know, I don't even know the word, as epidemic in American lifestyle. People have inflammation that they're not even aware of it, or they're not even aware of where it comes from or what it is or how it impacts certain organs and or functions, such as sinuses, rheumatoid arthritis, things like that. So How do we go about eliminating inflammation, because it's so prevalent in this culture?
Mm-hmm. It is so prevalent. And when we look at the association of acute and chronic inflammation with disease, we can find some 200 different disease diagnoses associated with inflammation. So as a clinical nutritionist using nutrition to help people get over their illness, almost every time I have a client, one of the first things I'm listening for is the manifestation of inflammation in their life. Now, how do we deal with inflammation? A number of different strategies. I'm going to limit it to just five. I could probably say 50. Number one is, Americans eat more sugar than has ever been attempted to be eaten in the history of humankind. And sugar always feeds inflammation. Number two, we're eating foods that are inappropriate for a physiological type. There is a substance within red meat, all red meats, called NEU5GC. Now, the consumption of NEU5GC by humans, not other meat-eating species, just humans, increases inflammation and the risk of cancer in the body by 500%. Number three for inflammation, we're consuming a lot of foods that are inappropriate for our physiological type, including many people are lactose intolerant, meaning over the age of 36 months, their body no longer processes the lactase enzyme to be able to break down milk proteins, let alone consuming milk from other species. So when we still continue to consume dairy and cheese and other milk products after the age of weaning, then that is a source of acute and chronic inflammation. Number four, cooked food takes out the living enzymes, which are denatured after above 120 degrees or so. So when we cook our food, our body then has to go into the immune system to bring up these white blood cells to break down the protein so we digest the food. This is called digestive leukocytosis. And this leukocytosis is another form of inflammation. And number five about inflammation, the bottom line is this: We think we're suffering from all this long spectrum of diseases, especially if you look at the 28 comorbidities associated with COVID-19 infection. Well, if we remove COVID-19 from the equation and consider only the facts are that of these 28 comorbidities, more than half of them are directly related to inflammation. Brother Junius, as you know about my book, Panic, I question whether COVID-19 is as novel and as pathogenic as is being claimed. And I contend that this background in America of these 28 comorbidities is the real problem affecting the health of this nation.
Well, people have so much inflammation in their body. Many of them may be aware of it, but to them, it's the norm. You know, So you get a certain age and you say, well, I have arthritis, or you have
itis.
And then you also have the issues where people think, well, I have allergies and my sinuses are jacked up or whatever. But a lot of those things are the result of inflammation. So give us some practical, incremental ways that we can reduce inflammation through our diet.
Good point that you make. And you know, Junius, I just returned from 6 weeks in the East African nation of Uganda, was having the most wonderful trip, but I caught malaria. Malaria is a terrible disease. It's the sickest I know I've ever been. But I did have a good strategy going into the country to prevent it. And so therefore, when I realized I have malaria, I immediately started going to my natural healing tool set. I'm not going to relate that whole story because there's a lot of twists and turns and a lot of bad parts about it. But malaria is one that you recover from even after you've gotten, quote unquote, healthy. You're still recovering from it for several weeks. So what I am doing now to get rid of the last vestiges of that, which is manifesting in a little bit of a respiratory phlegm creation, which is inflammation. So what I am doing, I significantly increase chlorophyll in the form of juicing greens. You can get chlorophyll liquids and drops, or I eat a lot of raw greens, which I grow in my backyard. Substances like magnesium, which is found in the chlorophyll, very powerful anti-inflammation agent. You can use zinc, selenium, potassium as nutritional supplements to help you fight inflammation. Vitamin C is also very, very good. The fruits and vegetables, especially fruits, are excellent sources of antioxidants, which help us to combat inflammation. Blueberries at the top of our list.
I ask you, could you break the fruits down? Are there certain fruits that are more potent in terms of promoting health and eliminating toxicity, acidity in the system, as well as inflammation?
Blueberries comes readily to mind. Dark colored fruits are great. All the orange-colored fruits are great, papaya, cantaloupe, and melons, and mangoes, and these are all very good for the different nature of substances that they have. The key about it is getting your fruits fresh, getting them whole, getting them organic when possible, and the antioxidants found in these fruits, the citrus, various citrus crops, limes and lemons, and oranges, and I'm thinking mandarin, something like that. I love these fruits, and I incorporate that into my diet. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, the apple has good sources of antioxidants, and pectin, which is a good detoxifying agent for removing heavy metals and other poisons out of the body. So if an apple a day, Junius, keeps the doctor away, I'm going to eat two apples a day to keep his lawyer cousin out of my life, too.
Now, one of the things that you do as a consultant, you lead people through seasonal fasts and also cleansing. So what's the significance of seasonal fasts from a holistic point of view, and how do you go about addressing, do you do virtual? I know you have a lot of clients where you are, but do you mm-hmm. do virtual sessions?
Yeah, well, I do one-on-one counseling sessions. People can order those up at livingsuperfood.com. No matter what your diagnosis, I contend there's a strong nutrition component to how you either overcome the diagnosis, get rid of, mitigate the symptoms, or avoid these conditions all in the first place. So in the movie, Chewicide, I liken this to, let's imagine our bodies as a luxury car. In fact, you've been given carte blanche. You can walk onto a Mercedes-Benz dealership and pick any car you want. Take it off the lot, it is yours. Now, how are you going to treat that Mercedes? It was free, so you could dog it out any kind of which way. But for most people, when they get a luxury car like that, they're expecting high performance and longevity. So they'll clean their Mercedes-Benz, keep it nice and shiny and everything. But would you clean your Mercedes only on the outside while allowing the inside of the Mercedes to accumulate old paper wrappings and trash and fast food packaging and those type of things? No, they would clean the inside of their Mercedes as well. The same is true for our human body. Most of us have never really done systematic internal cleansing. I do it every 3 months, every 90 days. I've been doing it for over 18 years, systematically cleaning my body through 9 different stages. We teach this in Living Superfood Research. So it's very, very critical that people understand this. And also, if you want longevity and high performance from your Mercedes-Benz, you would be best to follow the manufacturer's specifications on what type of fuel, liquids, oil change ratio, and all of this maintenance that the manufacturer recommends in order to obtain high performance and longevity from your luxury automobile. Well, let me tell you, the manufacturer of our body has given us instructions all throughout nature. Most of us ignore those instructions.
When you talk about gardening, and you are an avid proponent and promoter of gardening, specifically organic garden. A lot of people live in urban areas. A lot of folks don't own their own homes. But I've heard you on your broadcast talk about having a garden in an apartment, having a mm-hmm. garden in a limited space. So how do you go about doing that? And where can you get organic seeds, given all the geoengineering and the what I call the frankenfoods and the frankenseeds that are out there?
Yeah, good points that you make. Insofar as access to clean seeds, because of the proliferation of the internet and so many niche entrepreneurs out there, finding heirloom seeds, which are non-GE or heirloom seeds, traditional seeds, finding specifically non-GMO seeds is not that difficult and not necessarily much more expensive than buying the junk seeds that are out here that the big corporations are trying to have a monopoly on. And we have to, of course, resist that. It's very critical that growing food, being responsible for the sources of the food that you consume and you feed your family, we must take more and more responsibility for that. If we go back just a few generations, especially with African people in America, Native Americans and others, we had a high degree of food productivity, self-sufficiency. In fact, the wealth, the agricultural wealth of the entire Western Hemisphere was built upon the labor of Black people and their expertise in cultivating foods. So we cannot drop these family traditions, knowledge, wisdom pathways to our family. We cannot drop them and expect to have a thriving future. So just as my father learned from his father, taught his sons, I taught my daughters, we must keep these things alive, especially growing organic foods. Last point, you talked about living in an apartment, may not even have a patio space. I used to grow food on the stairs going up to my second floor apartment. I just put pots on both sides of each step and I grow my fresh herbs in there. But people can even just go out and buy a case of mason jars or ball jars, the one with the screw screwable lid that has the cap, the sensor removes, and you can just get some screen cloth, and you can actually use those jars and sprout your own seeds. And it'll be strictly organic. Sprouted seeds are the highest level of nutrition, the highest level, and it's organic. So we can come up with solutions at every point. There are solutions all around us. It all begins with a strong, passionate desire and a massive transformative purpose in life. I want to be healthy. I want to live healthy. I want control of my own health pathways.
One of your books is Superfood, Living Superfood Recipes. You have a monthly feast. You got one coming up, I think, this weekend, right?
Tomorrow, I'm preparing 32, maybe 33 dishes, and my kitchen is a fury right now. I try and set the record every month and at least once a year for single chef prepared feasts, and I think I'm pretty solid in that record. My highest was 44 dishes for one feast.
Now, are the foodstuffs, the fruits, the vegetables, are they easily attainable? And are the recipes simple? Because you mentioned raw, and a lot of folks, and particularly in this culture, have been brainwashed into believing the only way you can eat something is to cook it. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. there are certain ethnic groups that overcook the food.
Let me tell you. Once you've gone raw and experienced at least 30 days, at least 30 days of raw vegan dieting, and you've seen how your body transforms. I mean, I've seen people reverse their diabetes in as little as 14 to 30 days using raw food to reverse their hypertension, high blood pressure from drug dependent to non-drug dependent in as little as 3 days using raw food combined with exercise and maybe a few supplements, etc. So it's well worth, and at least experiment with it, at least give your body a chance. If we don't have the discipline to be able to eat clean food and to follow recipes, you step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, follow the recipes and eat clean foods. If we don't have the discipline to do that at least for 14 days toward an attempt of getting us off of pharmaceutical drugs, then there's not much left for us except for stay on those drugs, hope that the medical pharmaceutical drug manufacturer is telling you all of the truths about those drugs that you need to know, and then good luck, because in my world, I do not see that as a pathway to longevity and high performance in our physical self.
When you talk to psychologists and they talk about altering behavior, changing habits, they encourage you to not just abstain, but to substitute something positive for the negative habit that you want to change. So you just mentioned one way of doing it. What are some other ways to encourage people? Because I just spoke recently to someone who has a diagnosis of cancer, and he is moving toward organic, adding more organic foods into his diet. So that's an example of that. So what advice would you have for our listeners and viewers how to substitute quality foods, fruits and vegetables, nuts, to the standard, you know, death diet that we're so familiar with?
That's right. Get informed, get inspired, get excited. Now, insofar as getting informed, when I came to the point I says, I've got to try this vegan, raw vegan superfood lifestyle for an extended period of time. For 8 years, I was very strict on it after that. And that was among the most magnificent 8 years of my life. But the first stage of it was I ordered, I think, eight books the first day I committed. So I say, let me get informed. Let me get some great recipe books. Everybody can follow recipes. Also, it's critical to have the right tools. All of us should have, those of us who are making these commitments should have a high quality juicer And the low-speed juicers that are out now are very reasonably priced, and they're very high-performing, great, great output. We should have a good, high-quality blender. Other tools in the kitchen that I use include a food processor and a number of different gadgets. I'm a professional chef, so I have great gadgets, cutting boards and knives and things that I use for production. The key about it, another very important key, is to buddy up. Don't do this all on your own. It's better if we have a collaborative group that we're all working together. Harambe, let's all pull together. We can dine together. We can plan feasts together, learn, teach each other, inspire each other, and show each other the techniques. But the bottom line is this, you have a will. And for your will to be your best ally in life, you have to test it. You have to practice it. You have to stretch it and make it work. So I encourage everybody out there, do the best you can with the tools that the Creator already gave you, with the primary intention that the outcome of your efforts, you will be a healthy person.
We're almost out of time, but I did want to cover your book. You mentioned your book, Panic. What the coronavirus pandemic tells us about the state of the world. What prompted you to write this over a year ago?
30 years ago, in the midst or at the beginning of this crisis called HIV/AIDS, because I had a background in cellular biology, molecular science, and scientific research, I took the task on to learn as much as I possibly could about that, eventually writing three books on the topic, the third of which was entitled AIDS, The Establishment Confesses It's a Hoax. And so therefore, when we saw this thing called novel coronavirus, COVID-19, appear right around mid-January in the United States, by February 3rd, I had created the first of now some 85 reports on this. And so therefore, these reports were getting more and more detailed. I ended up making them chapters in the book. And by June 1st, 2020, my book came out entitled Panic. And here's the redacted cover. You got the first cover from Amazon. Shows me how quickly you got yours. We've cleaned up that cover there now on Amazon. Panic, what the coronavirus pandemic tells us about the state of the world. Not just the state of health, but the state of the world. But I just want to just leave this one point. This should just take me about a minute or two to read it most. But this is a con game. Some people have called it plandemic. I have called it now scamdemic. Now, if we could find any way to tie together 28 mostly unrelated diseases and disorders, then we would essentially find the greatest killer in the world. And then when we look at these comorbidities associated with COVID diagnoses, they include acute upper respiratory syndrome, colds and flu, acute lower respiratory disease, pneumonia, chronic lung diseases, COPD, hypertension, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, kidney disease, chronic dehydration, cancer, metabolic syndrome, advanced age with accompanying geriatric features, meaning just getting old with old people diseases, encephalitis, immune suppression, autoimmune disorders such as asthma and lupus, blood clots, obesity, high triglyceride levels, sensory impairment, diarrhea, conjunctivitis, liver-associated pathology. That was as the time the book came out. Then they added another 8 to that one. Obesity associated with COVID, pregnancy, Down syndrome, smoking, sickle cell disease, cystic fibrosis, and thalassemia, an inherited blood disorder that causes your body to have these issues. And I will add one more, Junius, because when I caught malaria in Uganda and had to go into the hospital systems, I took a total of 5 COVID tests while I was in Uganda, or I took one on the way and then the rest there. The third and the fourth one, when I was in the depths of malaria, those tests came back It said, Katie, you are COVID-19 positive. And then the last test, of course, when I went to leave the country, turned out negative. Well, what was interesting is this, Brother Junius. I was there to get married, and I spent all of my time with my fiance. And while those tests showed me as COVID positive, she never tested positive. She only tested COVID negative. That violates the rules of infectious agents.
Well, the other thing is, I think you might have mentioned, you either mentioned it and I didn't hear it, or you missed it. Dementia and Alzheimer's are also major factors when you look at the list of comorbidities and conditions that people are transpiring with. And oftentimes they attribute that to COVID when in fact it's these other things, these other comorbidities.
That's right. And when we're talking about advanced age with accompanying geriatric features, that definitely includes dementia and or cognitive disorders, which tend to advance as people age. And in America and in other places around the world, but in America, those COVID deaths and diagnoses and hospitalizations were highly compounded by the fact that they went into the long-term care facilities, the elderly care, the hospices, and they pulled people out of those places, putting them into hospitals, into COVID beds to be able to get all of that money that was resulting from the diagnosis. If we look at the details of this, and I did this extensively in the book Panic, it's a lot of chapters, a lot of details. It was a number of different scandals. The bottom line becomes, in this day, in this era, in this age, there's so much scandalous negativity, fear-mongering, and taking advantage of ignorant people that's going on. All of us have got to arm ourselves to defend ourselves.
Well, that's one of the reasons we're doing what we're doing. That's one of the reasons you're the first guest on Metanoia. So I want to thank you for taking time out from your busy schedule, because you just got off the air about 40-some minutes prior to us recording this. You have a busy schedule. Give us the URL for your Living Superfoods, and then we'll let you go with our eternal gratitude and with the promise that you'll come back in the not-too-distant future.
You know, I'm always going to be here for you, Brother Junius. I consider you, Junius, to be one of the geniuses that inspire me to even higher level of performance. So thank you for who you are, what you do. Living Superfood. It's not just recipes. It's not just delicious vegan food that'll make you feel healthy. It's a movement. It's a lifestyle. It is a united front against the forces that have bankrupted many families, killed in every family at least one member prematurely, and then they send us a huge bill after putting that relative of ours in the grave. We must resist. We must fight back using all of the tools that the divine creation has put into our hands. And one of the greatest tools is food is nature's most perfect medicine. So find out more. Join the movement. Bring your family along at livingsuperfood.com. Thank you, Brother Junius. Much gratitude for the network for sponsoring our conversation.
And we want to thank the Solari Network for this opportunity, Catherine Austin Fitz and her staff. We're greatly appreciative of them. And as we close out, this is Junius Ricardo Stanton encouraging you to engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow. Till next time, stay well, stay strong. Peace.